here we go.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast, where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself, Stretch Roberts.
You're angry.
So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon.
Here
is your host, Stretch.
I'm angry and fat. That guy pisses me. I hiss and that guy talk and I get mad. Hold on, I gotta take a big sip of my tea, because it's about 900 effing degrees outside. Oh, I love that stuff. I buy that. I literally drink 2 to 3 bottles of this per day. The Tahava, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's freaking awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I have had a busy weekend. I am still off on vacation. I am not at work today. You probably are, just saying ha to the ha. But I am off. I'm still at home. Currently in the apartment empty. I've had a not spectacular vacation here. Got kind of completely kiboshed yesterday, but I'll get into that here in a second. First, let me tell you, on Friday, I did get to go to the Northgate Market in Costa Mesa with my mom, and my son went with us, and we had lunch out there and bought some stuff, and then came home and made a bunch of stuff for dinner. It was great. Love that market. If you're out there, you should definitely go by and check it out. It's almost like a little tourist attraction going in to see that market. You're like, it's a Northgate Market, dude. Really? No, it's really different with the food court type atmosphere that it has. It's the same food as all Northgates, and it's no different, and it's not better as far as the food goes. If you just want the food, go to any Northgate Market. But it's the experience. It's the ambiance. And I really, really liked it. So that was on Friday. Got to hang out with the iceberg, who's being extra, extra clingy. And then Saturday, well, all hell broke loose. And it's still breaking loose, which is why I'm alone in the apartment right now on a Sunday afternoon. Here is what happened. And first I'm going to tell you the story, how it was given to me, which is really bad. And then I'm going to tell you what happened and the reality, and well, let's just get into it. So yesterday, my wife and I are sitting on the couch watching TV in the morning, and it's my brother-in-law calling my wife, which never happens because he can't stand his sister. She's annoying. He and I bond over that. And he's like, their dad had fallen, hit his head, and they were going to take him to the doctor. My father-in-law is 85 years old, by the way, and still does absolutely everything for my wife. It's weird, but anyhow, my father-in-law has taken a spill, and he took a spill because our dog, the German Shepherd, had tripped him, and he went face first down into a brick on his head. So now we got an 85-year-old man with a head injury that was tripped by our dog. Of course, my wife starts on that, well, we got to get rid of the dog. We got to do this. I'm like, just chill. Just chill. Like, we'll see what's happening. And now I say, yelling at my wife as she's relaying the message on the phone, and I'm sitting next to her, get him to the hospital ASAP. And my brother-in-law is like, no, he's fine. I'm just taking him to urgent care. And I say, get him to the hospital ASAP. No, we're going to urgent care. My wife's like, no, take him to the hospital. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are acting like this is no big deal. He just scratched his head, and they're taking him just to urgent care as a precaution. Let me tell you something. Urgent care is buffoonery in motion. You go to urgent care if you have the flu and get flu meds or something like that. Anything else, urgent care will throw some wrong medication to treat the symptoms, not even try to figure out what's wrong with you, and send you on your way and tell you to go visit your general practitioner. Urgent care sucks donkey fat balls. So my brother-in-law proceeds to take him to urgent care. It's closed. Proceeds to go to another urgent care. It's closed. Proceeds to go to another urgent care. They won't take my father-in-law's insurance. So he says, all right, well, we're going to have to take him to ER. ER takes him in, says we got to do a CT scan. And my father-in-law's, you know, conscious, talking, fine. And lo and behold, brain bleed. Straight to the ICU, straight in for possible brain surgery. But here's where the twist comes and where this gets really interesting. First of all, if they would have taken him to urgent care, he would have died. Second of all, the doctor comes out and says, hey, this CT scan, you've got the knock where you hit your head, but that's not where the brain bleed is. What's going on? To which point my father-in-law says, oh yeah, last week I fell out of bed and hit my head. He's got brain bleed for a week, and it's apparently not really bad, but it's not stopping. And long story short, if our stupid dog hadn't ran in front of him and tripped him, he would have died. He would have died. The dog knocking him down and scraping and smashing the side of his head probably saved his life. It's like one of those things when somebody goes in I got the weirdest freak accident, and then they go in and find out they have cancer or something in the ER. It's one of those deals. It's just crazy. So they did a procedure on him today, and he is, knock on wood, everything went really, really well, and they are hoping to release him from ICU tomorrow. So everything's going well, but it's still scary because he's old, and anytime it's with your head. And let me tell you, everyone, if you have an old person in your life and they fall and hit their head, if you have any human being in your life and they hit their head, go ahead and take them to the ER. Get the CT scan. It's not going to hurt anything. It's annoying. You're going to waste a day in the ER, but you'll feel really bad if they die and you didn't do anything. And a very dear friend of ours, it ended up, okay, our best couple's friend, they used to live across the street from us, and then they've moved a couple times since then, but we absolutely love them. And the mom of the wife lived down our street, and literally, they are like family to us. We go to their house on Christmas. We go there on Thanksgiving, 4th of July. All holidays are spent with that family and that entire family, with the grandparents, the parents, like everyone, the uncles, cousins, all of them. I know all of them, and they are, most of them I've known since they were little kids. In fact, that's the family where we went to the surprise wedding a month or two ago. I just knocked something over here on my floor. But great family. Well, the grandmother from that family, who is a stubborn old lady, and tell me if you don't have one of those in your family, she was walking down her driveway, because Palisades has got a lot pretty hilly. She was walking down her driveway, slipped, fell, hit the back of her head, came in the house, told her son, I don't feel good, I'm going to lay down. And he didn't. And he said, want me to take you to the doctor? No, just, I'm fine. And she died. She got brain bleed and she died. It's not the son's fault. He did what his mom wanted. He said, you want me to take you? No. But when they say no, insist. Make sure they go. Please. Make sure they go. But like public service announcement today. So my father-in-law trying to screw up my vacation. That's what I know. I get 5 effing days off a year, and he's trying to screw up my vacation. I'm not having it. It's not happening. My wife already told my daughter, you can't go to SeaWorld tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. I already bought the tickets. I got non-refundable one-day-only tickets. They are being used. So we are going to SeaWorld today, Monday, as you hear this. And that is that. So appreciate the thoughts and good wishes and prayers for my father-in-law. That would be much appreciated. We're trying to get him back to normal. Father-in-law's a good dude. I really like my father-in-law. I call him the General. I always have, because he was always so strict. But he's funny. All right. I have some good stories today. First, let's start with teabags. I said teabags. I'm 9. There is this new product. And I said product, not drug. It's not Ozempic. It's not a shot. It's not a prescription. In fact, it's not a surgery. It's not anything. And they are saying, according to research, that this stuff is amazing. And they call them tiny green tea beads. And they are safe. They are tasteless. You can mix them into every kind of food, these little beads, and you just put them in the food and mix them up. And they are plant-based micro beads that you basically put into your food or drink it, you know, put in your drink and drink it when you're eating whatever you're eating. And it's a massive, they're likening it to like a gastric bypass surgery in the sense that it's green tea, polyphenols, vitamin E, and seaweed inside of these little beads. And when you blend it and drink it, it binds to fat inside your intestinal tract. The preliminary results, which they did on rats, they fed them high-fat diets and fed them this, and they say this is way safer and more accessible than any surgery or pharmaceutical with amazing results. The results are going to be presented here fall of 2025, and this could be the next big thing. So weight gain caused by genetic lifestyle factors, including eating a high-fat diet. A high-fat diet is defined by the U.S. Department of Agriculture as one where 35% or more of a person's daily calories comes from fat. I'm on a high-fat diet right now. Ah, man. So, good news. Really, really good news. Let's hope that happens. Green tea microbeads, I have a feeling, are the new thing you are going to be hearing about. But right now, let's talk about working out. And what's more fun than working out through sex, 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 S-E-X. Ba-pow, 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 ba-pow. That's right. Banging it. Putting it down. Horizontal mambo. Making it happen. Stabbing the cabin. That's how you want to work out. Now, here's the problem with this story right out of the box. They say most sex sessions amongst couples last 5.5 minutes, and that's not enough to really get a good workout in. But you can get a workout in even in your 5.5 minutes if you do certain positions. And now, I'm going to be annoyed here. I mean, I love talking, sex is fun, and I like giving you these stories and giving you these ideas. But I don't like woke, you know that about me? I don't like woke, I don't like PC, that's not my style, I'm very un-PC. And so they go into this thing and they are like, here's the sex positions that you need to do to get around and to burn weight. And then they call one called the butter churner, it's the top one. And they say, you know, like, I'm like, what the F is the butter churner? Like, you know, what is happening there? So let me give it to you and then give you my problem with it. So one partner lies on their back, lifting their hips and legs like a yoga shoulder stand. So you're basically on your back. It's also like a jiu-jitsu move where your feet are flat on the ground, your hips are up, and your shoulders are on the ground and your neck. And that partner is the female. Let's just call that. They don't say that. They say one partner. Then the other partner, they say, squats down on the ground and penetrates from above. They call this the frickin' butter churner. And they say they also call this same sex position, God, they have another name for it too. But here's what I don't like. The penetrator then goes up and penetrates the man. Now, granted, I get you could slap dildos on two people that don't have a penis. You can have two people with penises doing this to each other. So they're being very PC. Let's just say lady lies on her back. And then you can be like, hey, I feel like a lady, so I'm going to take the lady position. I'm pretty sure if it was a man and a woman in this situation and the man was on his back, this position wouldn't work because the woman couldn't penetrate. Maybe she's pegging you. Maybe she's got a strap on. I don't know, but I wish they would just say man or woman. We can, you know, customize it. It's kind of like a cheeseburger. You can take things off to a cheeseburger, add things to a cheeseburger, and still a cheeseburger. So it doesn't change it, but anyway, that's what they do. So the butter churner is the number one. They say, they also call it the squat thruster, and it gives the penetrating partner, the man,
a serious lower body workout, burning a whopping 211 calories in just 30 minutes. Well, you're not going to do that for 30 minutes. It's not going to happen. The receiving partner doesn't get up that easy either, because remember, they're on the ground with their hips held up in the air with all their weight on their shoulders and their quads holding them up. And it doesn't have an exact burn, but it says they get a good burn going on too. Now, an extra perk, the position is fabulous for deep penetration and for hitting the G-spot. Well, now I know that you have a woman as the down, because a man doesn't have a G-spot. No, no, no. Man has a prostate, doesn't have a G-spot. So, there you go. They did throw in, or the P-spot, which is a prostate, which means you could be a dude getting railed in the keister in this situation. But that's just for imagination's sake. Let's just call the penetrator the man and the penetratee the female. That works. Okay. I'm so sick of the world. They say if that doesn't work for you or you're not real flexible, go with standing sex. Once again, the penetrator burns 198 calories and 145 for the receiver over 30 minutes. Now, when you're standing, I'm trying to figure out if this is standing, because you have sex and you can lift your partner up. If you're a dude and you're holding your female partner, or if you're a dude and you're holding your male partner, but you're standing up and you like slide them on, I don't know. If you're both standing, then it's doggy, most likely, because if not, going to be hard to have any penetration going on. They say the female pleasure may come up short on this one. Previously study peg standing sex as one of the worst positions for female orgasms at only 17%. So you could burn a lot of calories, but you're not going to get off if you're a lady. What fun is that? Doggy style rounds up the top three, helping the giving partner. So if you're the giver and you're going doggy, 182 calories. And if you're the taker or the booty receiver, depending on what you're doing doggy style, 103 every 30 minutes. So there you go. That's pretty good. Kneeling wheelbarrow is another one. For this, one partner gets on all fours while the other hoists them up by the hips. And they say a move that works your arms, core, and balance. Then the penetrating partner, aka the one with a penis, can expect to torch about 167 calories in 30 minutes while the receiver burns 149. And coming in fifth is the lotus position, a sensual face-to-face embrace where one partner sits cross-legged while the other straddles them. Both lovers get a gentle but effective core workout plus hips and thigh action while burning around 148 calories in 30 minutes. Other steamy moves can torch 100 calories per half hour, including the eagle, legs up, and spooning. The basic old spoonerooner can get you 100 calories in a half hour, but that's a long, long time of spooning. So, that's good news. I like sex workouts. Get your sex on. Sex. Da, 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 da. Remember the songs used to be about sex and they'd talk? Remember George Michael's I Want Your Sex was like the most controversial. They were trying to get it banned from radio airplay. Now you can rap about shooting people in the face and it's no big deal. But George Michael was just talking about wanting to have sex. Even though he was talking about, George was one of those where he was talking about the penetrator and the penetratee, not necessarily a man and a woman. Sorry, I'm pounding my drink. Ah, all right, now, here's one more sec. While we're on the sex topic, I may as well unload on you, if you will. That sounds disgusting. That's not what I meant. Three sex moves that are most likely to break your penis. Don't break your penis. You don't want to break your penis. I broke my penis once. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. A lot of blood. It's bad. Just saying. It's bad. Here we are. They say in sex, you can have injuries like blunders, minor lacerations, abrasions, muscle soreness, and some people have heart attacks. And then there's the old penile fracture, which will require a trip to the emergency room. And the penis, I don't even know if I want to read this. It's going to make me grab my junk and kind of double over and cringe. Yeah, the three sexual positions that can result in stiff penalties. Ha! Get it? Stiff penalties when you break your penis. Doggy style is a good way to break your penis, according to them. Man on top, even if it's a man-to-man, and that's just like straight pounding right there. That is the position they're showing is a, at least they're showing a female figure on the bottom, and she has her legs not like spread wide, spread straight up, like to where she's doing like a doubled in half, and the guy's just going to pound town, and they say that'll break you too. And then a woman on top. That's how I broke mine. That was one woman on top, number three. I got that one. Where the woman gets carried away and you're like, yo, 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 calm down. And they start jumping around like they're on, at a rodeo. And next thing you know, Willie pops out and then they come back down and Willie doesn't pop back in. And Snapatola, Ayatollah Snapahola, you got a broken penis. By the way, that was my wife that did that to me. It was awful. It was awful, awful, awful. And it hurt. And like I said, it bled for days. And then I finally went to the doctor after days of bleeding. Ah, yeah, that's not great. Let me get into... Oh, I got a cool... Let me get into a message. I won't say who it is because somebody reaches out to me. I don't want to, like, blow up their spot and tell their business. But I do like their contact to me because it was on topic of what we talk about here on Fat to Fit or Else a lot. And that is, where are you at, bitches? Load up. Here it is. Hold on. All right. I got this from someone that says, I always smile when people talk about Ozempic muscle loss. I'm a skinny a-hole. I got my hands on Ozempic because it made it much easier to maintain my weight without food noise. And it says, you bet your ass I've lost a lot of muscle mass. You know why? I was only exercising to lose weight. Now I don't have to. Well, now I do, unless I want to have osteoporosis or some shit. I'm quoting the nonsense now because my lazy ass stopped exercising because Ozempic made me skinny without it. Great, great reach back. And then my response to that was, yeah, it's really dangerous. And it's funny how the doctor doesn't talk about that. They don't say, hey, Ozempic's going to just allow you to devour your muscle. You'll lose a ton of weight, but you'll devour your muscle. They don't ever bring that up. That's why I preach it here. Keep your protein up. Keep exercise, especially weightlifting. Weightlifting is important if you're going to be on Ozempic because Ozempic will make you skinny. Yeah, people look insanely skinny. They look great and you feel great. And you're like, why do I want to work out again? Not a lot of people enjoy working. I liked lifting weights, but now I'm afraid to because I hurt myself and I'm old. But I like lifting weights. By the way, sidebar here, I may start lifting weights again. My wife found a little gym right here by the house, and it's got everything, and it's $21 a month, and you don't have to go on a auto pay. Like you pay when you come in. And then if in a month you try to come in, it won't let you in because it's up. You pay again. So it doesn't, it's not auto, it's not, they're not trying to snake your money. I really like that. So, oh man, I hope my thing didn't just turn off. Because I was yakking and not paying attention to my computer. And, well, my computer just locked me out. And I hope that didn't shut off the podcast because I will be super pissed. Open, bitch. Wow, now it's locking me out. Now it's not even letting me in. Oh, man. I am not happy. But I appreciate the input there. Very true stuff happening. Now let's get into what happened to me on Saturday. So, Saturday, I posted about this, and I am hell-bent on doing anything I can do to destroy Karen Bass or Gavin Newsom, either one of them. And they're both Democrats, yes, but they are both the people I hold personally responsible for my entire city burning down. And people come at me and are like, oh, really? So they lit the fire. They made the winds come. The 50-year winds are their fault. Then people defend them. And that's fine. If you want to defend them, defend them. I don't. I blame them. And most everyone I know blames them for us losing our homes and our stuff. And then the lies on top of it. Newsom taking $1.5 million of fire aid money and putting it into his wife's charity is just reeks of scumbaggery. Bass not being in town yet, knowing that that event was coming and it was high probability, because we get fires in Southern California all the time. And then Newsom lying about brush clearance that they've never done, paying up my butt for brush clearance, mandatory. You pay or they put a lien on your house when you live in a brush fire area. And I've paid that bill for 23 years and they never once did any brush clearance. They've just been taking the money. God knows what they're doing with it. Probably something I wouldn't agree with politically. But it's just been mismanaged and it's been really bad and I blame them. So I'm now, what I love is no one in my neighborhood agreed with me politically. Like, I didn't know anyone that had the political views that I do in my neighborhood. No one. Everyone was incredibly, incredibly liberal. Incredibly. And I don't hate liberals. I just, it's not my cup of tea politically. But it is so cool to be united with all these people for the same cause. People hate Gavin Newsom in the Palisades. They fucking hate that guy. And Karen Bass, too. It was funny. Someone went around and took all of the Karen Bass resign now. They went around and there were signs all over the Palisades and someone took them all. So there are people that defend them. But anyhow, if you have followed at all or seen anything at all lately, Spencer Pratt, guy from the Hills, who I was always like, guy's a reality star, whatever. I knew he lived in Palisades. I've seen him around. You know, no nothing. The dude has become an effing hero in the Palisades because he's got over 1 million followers on social media and he's dedicated his life to what I just said, destroying Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. And I'll share, he'll get good videos. And what's happened is people realize he's the mouthpiece. He's the guy that's going to put it up there. And he doesn't care about repercussions. He really doesn't have an F to give. And he really went after these guys on social media, and so people have been feeding him information like, hey, this happened, this, and this, and then Spencer keeps blowing it out, and I have talked with him, you know, online a couple times about stuff, and I repost some of the stuff he does I find really funny, and he's going, so much so that Newsom went after him and called him a C-list or D-list celebrity and was trying to say he was lying, and then it just cranked the heat up at that point. Spencer went nuts. Well, there was a rally, an anti-SB 79 rally in the Palisades on Saturday, and I'm like, I'm going. And if you saw the post, I ordered a t-shirt that said, even my dog hates Gavin Newsom, and I wore it. And I have to tell you, I was incredibly popular. In fact, I talked to Spencer, and he loved it. He posted two separate videos over the weekend with me in it because he liked my shirt so much. And everybody's like, where do you get that shirt? By the way, if you want one, I looked it up on Amazon. I ordered it on Amazon, and it was like $14. And it just says, even my dog hates Gavin Newsom. And I'm sure if you hate Trump, you could maybe get the same thing for your dog hates Trump. But people were there, and there were Democrat politicians there speaking out against it. And what happened is I posted about that rally, and there's people that are pushing that proposition. And then they saw I was on Spencer's stuff. And I got to tell you, I got bombarded by Saturday afternoon of just people coming at me for my views and how it's funny. They have a name for the these rich white, which is a lie. My wife's not white. My neighbors aren't white. There's not a lot of not white people in Palisades. But anyhow, they say these rich white NIMBYs, and that's what they call us. So instead of Karens, they call you NIMBYs, which stands for not in my backyard. And basically the Palisades, like I said, is very, very, very liberal. And they are the people who are like, hey, let's fix homelessness. Let's solve this. Let's not deport people. They're very, you know, socially conscious people. But when it comes to, okay, we're going to put low-income housing in your neighborhood, it's not in my backyard. So it's a slam. So they're calling me a NIMBY.
And I find that funny because I'm a NIMBY. If I live in Downey, if I, wherever it is, I don't want bullshit in my backyard. And I don't want the property taxes we pay in the Palisades. I don't want our property value lowered. And that will happen if you put a lot of low-income housing around our house. That'll lower it. And it brings a lot of police issues and things like that. I know that where I live right here in the apartment. I live in a really good neighborhood in West LA where the apartment is. It is absolute dog shit outside. Like, I can't walk outside within 50 to 100 feet of my apartment. I find people laying on the sidewalk smoking crack. I find people shitting on the sidewalk. And it's disgusting. It's absolutely unacceptable. And it shouldn't happen. And I don't want this in my backyard, even when I live here. I don't want that crap in Downey when I live in Downey. I don't want it anywhere I live. So you want to call me a not in my back, a NIMBY, fine. And then they have from NIMBYs to YIMBYs. We're so liberal, we're YIMBYs. Yes, in my backyard. So they want to go ahead and do it. And by the way, there was the guy that was on the LA City Council. And I forget his name, but he was a gay guy and he had adopted black children. And then the Latin guy on there made fun of his black kids and it turned into a gnarly, awful thing. And anyway, that guy lived in the Palisades and he voted to import all the homeless to Pacific Palisades. This is way before the fire. And to set up basically a tent city on the beach at Will Rogers Beach and let thousands and thousands, I'm talking thousands of homeless people, live on the beach there in a tent city. He wanted to turn Pacific Palisades into Skid Row. Needless to say, he is no longer in politics. And he lived in Pacific Palisades a couple blocks from me. And he is no longer a politician. He got ran the F out of Dodge. And it's weird that people didn't see that. And realize that's the sample rate that you're dealing with. Like, Newsom is greatly underestimating the Palisades. So is Bass. They're trying to ignore it. And then they're trying to do all this crap. And then people are like, SB 79 is about you because you don't have a hub there. Here's the problem. SB 79 can be about us. They're expanding all the time and will be included in that. And we're looking at a 5 to 10 year rebuild to our cities back. And with SB 79, the community doesn't get the option to go in and plan their own area. It's whatever Sacramento wants to do or whatever the politicians want to do, and that's unacceptable. And every other state in the country, after a disaster, you can't go in and buy up land and rebuild a city and change it and do this without the input of the citizens of that city. And the citizens of that town, it's everywhere, but not here in California. And it's not expressly written into the language of SB 79. So that's what I'm against. And if Newsom's for it, I'm against it. I'll tell you that right now. If Newsom came out and said he loved my mom, I might hate my mom. I'm that anti-Gavin Newsom. I just can't stand that guy. And Karen Bass, too. So the heat is on with me on social media. And I mostly do all my political rantings on X. But it's I don't do it on Instagram. Instagram, I try to just keep it lighthearted and basically about the podcast, either the God Wants to Talk to You or on here on Fat to Fit or Else. And I try to keep it basic and put stuff about my dogs or my kids or family or whatever up there. But I do get political on X, but that is the only spot that I do it. So that being said, it is time for me to go because I have a vacation to get to. Hopefully my father-in-law quits trying to die. Hopefully my dog stops trying to kill my father-in-law and my other family members. And we can move on. Oh, by the way, I had my dog. I brought Nova with me to that rally. So Nova was there as I wore my, even my dog hates Gavin Newsom. And people go, you got a smart dog. And I'm like, my dog used to have a really big-ass backyard. And now she lives in an apartment. Yeah, she hates Gavin Newsom. So hopefully you do too. And if you don't, I don't care. Like, I'm cool. You can like them. You know, here's the thing. I will never hate you for having a different view than me. And there's a lot of people that, like I've seen, there's a lot of people that hate you for thinking differently. I'm like, it's America. We're supposed to think differently. We're not all supposed to be a bunch of Kool-Aid drinking fools. And I know people are like, well, everyone on the right is a Nazi. I'm not in that group. I'm not in that group. There's stuff they do I like. There's stuff they do I don't like. So it's a crazy world, but hopefully we can all just get along.
I'm going to get up out of here and go enjoy my vacation. I will talk to you guys again Friday with a bonus pod. So till then, I'll see ya.